So as we see now in Esther chapter 6, we see this whole plot unfolding, and it seems to be getting more and more intense as each chapter we read of what's happening here, all because Haman has an issue with Mordecai. Mordecai refuses to bow down to him, and he's so upset over the whole situation. And what we see is one of the knights, King Ahasuerus, I can't say that, I'll say King Xerxes is easier. He couldn't sleep, so he had the Book of Remembrance or Chronicles come to his bedroom, read the story to him of what everything that happened, and it comes to the situation where that assassinated attempt was on his life, but it was foiled. And he wondered, did we ever do anything for the man that exposed us? And in walks Haman. And Haman, he asks Haman, what should we do for this man? And Haman thinks, surely he's talking about me. So I'm going to tell him the best elaborate way we can honor me, basically, was what he was doing. And isn't it just like the Lord to turn it around on him? And say, it's not about you. It's about Mordecai. Could you imagine the rage in his heart when he heard that name? I can't imagine what he must have went through inside when he realized, it's not me. It's the man I hate and despise that's going to be honored. And the Lord does that, doesn't he? He knows how to humble us. He knows how to humble us. And what's so interesting to me is Haman's wife said this. If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. In verse 13, chapter 6. How does she know that?
Right.
It almost was prophetic what she said there. Because we're not going to get into chapter 7 today, but we're going to see what she said happened to him. But what we see with Haman, his heart was full of pride. Self-love is another name for pride. We love ourselves. There was a gentleman that was alive in the 1600s. I'm not even going to attempt to say his name because I'm going to totally mess it up, just like King Ahasuerus. I can't say like King Xerxes. But this gentleman said, self-love is the greatest of all flatterers. It's the greatest of all flatterers. And when we look at the Bible has a lot to say about pride, doesn't it? There's so much in the Bible about pride. And I had listed some scripture verses there from Proverbs that I thought it would be good for us to go through, because when we see what happened to Haman in this situation, he is the epitome of what we read in the scriptures about pride. So we can learn a lot from Haman, right? How not to walk in pride, but how to walk in humility. Because why? James tells us why. Does anyone know what James said about pride versus humility?
Pride comes before a fall.
Right? It's in Proverbs. Pride comes before fall. But James says God resists the proud. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I don't know about you, I need a lot of grace. A lot of grace. But the only way I can obtain that grace is if I humble myself. You know, humble myself and keep humbling myself, you know. So we need to learn from Haman's example how not to be. Because Jesus also said, whoever exalts himself, they are going to be humbled. But whoever humbles themselves, they're going to be exalted by the Lord. And that's what we're going to see when we get to the next chapter and the chapter after that. God really exalted Mordecai to a place of just, I mean, he took Haman's place, you know? So we see there is a biblical principle here that we need to learn and keep learning. This is not like a one-time learning. We're going to be learning this until Jesus comes back for us. How to walk in humility. It's ongoing, ongoing. And it's painful sometimes, but it's a good thing. So maybe what we could do, so I'm not doing all the talking, maybe just where we left off, we can go around the room again and just read one of those passages on pride. Okay? And I hope the tape can pick it up. That's the only reason why I do the class the way I do, because sometimes when you're speaking, it's not picking you up. So I don't know if there's a way to... Yeah, just one verse apiece seems to be, yeah.
Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be of a lowly spirit, humility, among the proud, among the poor, than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 16:18-19.
When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But wisdom is with those who have humility. Proverbs 11:2.
Toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he shows favor. Proverbs 3:34. A proud and haughty scorner is his name, who acts with arrogant rage. Proverbs 21:24.
Okay, we just had an unpleasant.
One who loves transgression loves strife. One who builds a high threshold invites broken bones. Proverbs 17:19.
Wow.
Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. By insolence, the heedless make strife, but wisdom is with those who take advice. Proverbs 13:10.
That's a good one.
The talk of fools is a rod for their backs, but the lips of the wise preserve them. Proverbs 14:3.
The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. Proverbs 15:25.
The fear of the Lord is instruction, and wisdom and humility goes before honor. Proverbs 15:33. All those who are arrogant are in abomination to the Lord. Be assured they will not go unpunished. Proverbs 16:5.
A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Proverbs 29:23.
Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. Proverbs 18:12.
If you have been foolish, exalting yourself, or if you have been devising evil, put your hand on your mouth. Proverbs 30:32.
It is better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 16:19.
There are those who are pure in their own eyes, yet are not cleansed of their filthiness. There are those, how lofty are their eyes, how high their eyelids lift. Proverbs 30:12-13.
Only by pride comes contention, but with those who take advice is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10.
In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Proverbs 14:3.
A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold those who possess humility in spirit. Proverbs 29:23.
We can stop right there. Yeah, we'll stop right there. So as we read all those verses on pride in Proverbs, how does that speak to your hearts?
I have a lot of pride.
One person shook their head and said, I have a lot of pride. There's others agreeing for those that aren't here, that are listening online. Yeah, we all do have a lot of pride. Yeah. And that's why it's good to go through scriptures like this, so we can see our need to come down out of pride and to learn how to walk humbly before God and before others too. Because what we see again, the description of what was given in each one of these proverbs, we see it played out in Haman's life, right? I mean, we really do. So we know that God's word is true and his word doesn't return void. Whatever we sow to, that's what we're going to reap, whether it's to the flesh or to the spirit, right? So God knows how to humble us. But do we respond when he's trying to humble us? I have one lady in our class that's shaking her head no. How many can relate to that? That we don't respond. I have another one raising hand. And I have to share the descriptions because for those that are listening, it's hard to know what's going on in the class because they're not here. But a good assignment would be look for opportunities to humble yourself. Even when it's someone that you don't like or agree with, may point something out to you about yourself, will you own it? Humble yourself and own it. And do whatever you have to do to humble yourself. And since a lot of ladies here in this room are married, when it's coming from your husband, instead of arguing, humble yourself. You gotta swallow your pride to do that, right? Yeah. I gotta swallow my pride to do that. But if what they're saying is true, then we need to agree. Agree with God and agree with them. And whatever they're telling us, that's sin in our life, because pride is sin. We need to crucify it to the cross. Remember, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And if you know you need a lot of grace to bear a situation or a person or a circumstance, that's the only way you're going to tap into that grace is by walking in humility. Because again, like James told us, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, right? And even in, for those that are moms in the room, that maybe you point out something in your child's life. And instead of saying, no, mommy, saying, no, ma, you're right, I'm wrong. Don't wait till you get older to say that to your mom. Because when you get older, you'll realize mom was right about a lot of things that we fought her on, that we resisted. So we could learn a lot from Haman. Psalm 7, verse 14 and 16 says, behold, the wicked man conceives evil. And we see this with Haman. Haman was conceiving evil in his heart towards Mordecai. I mean, he had prestige, influence. He was a wealthy man. He was invited to this banquet that only the king was attending. What more did he want? But it wasn't enough because of Mordecai. And he was conceiving evil in his heart. And Psalm 7 tells us, behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. And we're going to see that in the next chapter. That's exactly what happens to Haman. Remember, build these gallows to hang Mordecai on. And you know, we went to the Ark Encounter not too long ago. And you know the zipline tower? That's as high as the gallows were. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, I was just like, whoa, man. So what was his reason for building him that high? He was making a statement. But God turned it around, and he made a statement. Right? He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head. And on his own skull, his violence descends. God's word is true. And again, it just makes me wonder, how did Zeresh know? If Mordecai, before you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but you will surely fall before him. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10 says, God's adversaries shall be broken in pieces from heaven. He will thunder from heaven, and he will judge the ends of the earth. In the fear of the Lord, there is wisdom. In the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. Psalm 75, 10 says, all the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. So that should spur us on to want to live our lives right before God and before people. Yeah. So God's favor would be upon us. Psalm 145, verse 20 says, the Lord preserves all those who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. And how many times do we see this? Not only in this story, but also throughout the scriptures. You know, Isaiah 2 is a good chapter that we were encouraged to read through many, many times over and over and over on the day of the Lord, which is approaching. And when you study that out, you see how it keeps saying in there that the day of the Lord, in the day that the Lord comes, the lofty looks of men are going to be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted. And it touches on everything, on government, on trade, arts, music, everything it touches on. When you study it out, it touches on everything. God's day is coming. But it's a day that he's bringing everyone down, way, way down out of pride, so that Christ alone can be exalted. So when I read that, that's a future event that is going to come. It has not happened yet. There's prophecies in the Bible that have not happened yet, but we see we are heading in a direction. And we are heading for the day of the Lord, because the day of the Lord is going to come. Whether in our generation or in your generation, we don't know. Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, but to be ready. But we look at the story of Haman, who teaches us about pride. And somehow, when God's trying to deal with our pride, it really is preparing us for the day of the Lord. I'd rather God humble me now than when the day of the Lord comes. Jesus told us it's the meek that are going to inherit the earth. Jesus said, learn of me, right? I'm meek and lowly in heart. And on Sunday, we heard a lot about submission. And I love how Jeff said it. Just think of submission not as a negative word. It's just waving the flag, meekness. Voluntary submission to the will of another. That's what meekness is. We voluntarily submit our will to another. So as we look at those scripture verses from Proverbs and some of these other scriptures here from the Psalms and 1 Samuel 2, are there areas of pride in your heart that God is showing you through Haman's life? Is there any bitterness maybe that you're holding on towards someone? Like he was holding on towards Mordecai? I mean, this was building up. It just climaxed in the chapter we read. But this has been building up, this bitterness that he had in his heart towards Mordecai. And it came to a head. Like almost when you get a pimple, you know, that's under the skin, deep in there. And it's a cyst in there, but eventually it comes to a head and it has pus and it needs to be lanced. That's what our sin is like. Is there any bitterness that you're holding on to in your heart towards someone? How do you know? You might know. I mean, the Lord is faithful to bring faces in those times that we see or that someone we know. I mean, Proverbs says a man knows his own bitterness. It's interesting. We know when our heart's not right. How do you know you have bitterness towards an individual? How's it being manifested in your life? Well, I know we've gone through this handout before, but I thought it would be good to go through it again because we could never tire of going through this. The sheet that you have attached to your study notes for the class, it's called Proud People versus Broken People. And I remember the first time I read this was years ago, I was like, whoa. I need to be broken, Lord. And still, so many years, I'm still reading through it and it's, I still need to be broken more. This is still self there. So what we can do, so I'm not doing all the talking, we'll do like we did with Proverbs. Each one, you could read a section on proud people, broken people. Okay, we'll do that. We'll pass the mic around and I'll try to get the recording going here. And I'm hoping this recording comes out okay with what we're doing. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Proud people focus on the failure of others, while broken people are overwhelmed with a sense of their own spiritual need.
Proud people have a critical, fault-finding spirit. They look at everyone else's faults with a microscope, but their own with a telescope. Broken people are compassionate. They can forgive much because they know how much they have been forgiven.
Proud people are self-righteousness. They look down on others. Broken people esteem others better than independent, self-sufficient spirit. Broken people have a dependent spirit. They recognize their needs for others.
Proud people have to prove that they are right. Broken people are willing to yield the right to be, are willing to yield the right to be right.
Proud people claim rights. They have a demanding spirit. Broken people yield their rights. They are self-denying.
Proud people are self-protective of their time, their rights, and their reputation. Broken people are self-denying. Proud people desire to be served. Broken people are motivated to serve others.
Proud people desire to be a success. Broken people are motivated to be faithful and to make others a success.
Proud people desire self-advancement. Broken people desire to promote others.
Proud people have a drive to be recognized and appreciated. Broken people have a sense of their own unworthiness. They are thrilled that God would use them at all.
Proud people are wounded when others are promoted and they are overlooked. Broken people are eager for others to get the credit. They rejoice when others are lifted up.
Proud people have a subconscious feeling. This ministry / church is privileged to have me and my gifts. They think of what they can do for God. Broken people's heart attitude is, I don't deserve to have a part in any ministry. They know that they have nothing to offer God except the life of Jesus flowing through their broken lives.
Proud people feel confident in how much they know. Broken people are humbled by how very much they have to learn.
Proud people are self-conscious. Broken people are not concerned with self at all.
Proud people keep others at arm's length. Broken people are willing to risk getting close to others and take risks of loving in intimacy. Proud people are quick to blame others. Broken people accept personal responsibility and can see where they are wrong in a situation.
Proud people are unapproachable or defensive when criticized. Broken people receive criticism with a humble, open spirit.
Proud people are concerned with being respectable with what others think. They work to protect their own image and reputation. Broken people are concerned with being real. What matters to them is not what others think, but what God knows. They are willing to die to their own reputation.
Proud people find it difficult to share their spiritual need with others. Broken people are willing to be open and transparent with others as God directs.
Proud people want to be sure that no one finds out when they have sinned. Their instinct is to cover up. Broken people, once broken, don't care who knows or who finds out. They are willing to be exposed because they have nothing to lose.
There are those who are pure in their own eyes, yet are not cleansed of their filthiness. There are those, how lofty are their eyes, how high their eyelids lift. Wait a minute.
But that was good because that was scripture.
Proud people will have a hard time saying, I was wrong, will you please forgive me? Broken people are quick to admit failure and to seek forgiveness when necessary. Proud people tend to deal in generalities when confessing sin. Broken people are able to acknowledge specifics when confessing their sin.
Proud people are concerned about the consequences of their sin. Broken people are grieved over the cause, the root of their sin.
Proud people are remorseful over their sin, sorry that they got found out or caught. Broken people are truly, genuinely repentant over their sin, evidenced in the fact that they forsake that sin.
Proud people wait for the other to come and ask forgiveness when there is a misunderstanding or conflict in a relationship. Broken people take the initiative to be reconciled when there is misunderstanding or conflict in relationships. They race to the cross. They seek if they can get there first, no matter how wrong the other may have been.
Proud people compare themselves with others and feel worthy of honor. Broken people compare themselves to the holiness of God and feel a desperate need for His mercy.
Proud people are blind to their true heart condition. Broken people walk in the light.
Proud people don't think they have anything to repent of. Broken people realize they have need of a continual heart attitude of repentance. Proud people don't think they need revival, but they are sure that everyone else does. Broken people continually sense their need for a fresh encounter with God and for a fresh filling of His Holy Spirit.
That's from Nancy Lee DeMoss from Revive Our Hearts Ministry. And a good assignment to do is to highlight, I've had to do this several times over the years, just highlight the ones that really speak to me about my pride and highlight the ones that speak about my need for brokenness. And like I said, this is something we just have to continually let God work on our hearts. Because if not, we'll wind up being like Haman. And we don't want that. We don't want to be like Haman. And he is a good example to us, again, of the dangers of walking in unrepentant pride or not letting God deal with you. Brokenness is not a bad thing. I don't know if anyone ever read Watchman Nee's book. Let me think if I remember the name of it. I think it's The Outer Man. I think it's called that. It's a classic. He was a pastor in China that was thrown in jail because of his faith in Christ. And he wrote a lot of his books in a prison cell. And he wrote one on brokenness, and it was how God brings situations and circumstances and people into our lives to break the outer man so that the inner man could come forth. The inner man of the Holy Spirit could come forth. And how you know that the inner man, Jesus, who lives in us, if we've been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, is living in you, ruling and reigning in you, is if you are walking in the same spirit that Jesus walked when he was here on earth. And we know what Jesus was like. He's meek and lowly in heart, he said. And he told us to learn of him. So we should be studying him. Really be studying Jesus. Study how he interacted with different people. Because he interacted with all kinds of people. It's amazing. And the one thing I love so much about the Lord is he knew exactly what to say and when to say it to people. It's amazing. He knew what people needed. God wants us in that way, to use us in that way in the days that we're living in. But it's difficult to use a prideful man that's bent on his own way, because in that book, what Watchman Nee was sharing, how when God is able to break the outer man, really what's being broken is your will. The will is being broken inside. See, Jesus was one with the Father. He said, everything I say, I do, is what the Father wants me to say and do. He was one with him. But Jesus prayed for us in John 17 that we would be one with the Father as he was one with the Father. And the love that was in him would be in us. So he prayed that while he was here. He's probably still praying it for us, because that's his heart's desire. So when you have a situation where it's difficult, or a person that's difficult in your life, we tend to rise up, right, in defense. But God's allowing it to break us. To break us, that outer man, that hardened shell, like a seed, right, Tina? That seed is hard on the outside, but the shell needs to break, right? Lisa, you guys that work with flowers and seeds and soil, that seed has to break for what's in the seed to come forth. And the same thing is true in our lives. But if we keep resisting, our hearts get harder and harder and harder and harder. And we wind up like Haman. Enraged over something or someone that we don't even know. Why am I acting like a mad woman? Just seeing this person, my cackles go up. Something's wrong there. Something's wrong. But God can use that to break us of the pride inside, to break our wills, so that his Holy Spirit can come forth and the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our life, which is, I know that's what we all want. We all want Jesus to come out of us more and more and more and more. But we gotta humble ourselves. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So it would be good as a little homework assignment to highlight the ones that you know speak of who you are. But then to pray, God, break me in this area so that, for example, instead of me focusing in on the failures of others, I'm more overwhelmed with the sense of their spiritual needs. Give you an example. This is years ago. There was a situation and a person, very, very difficult to love and to be around. They were very negative. They were hard. They were nasty. I mean, it was hard being around that person. And I remember I would wrestle with the Lord. Lord, why is this person in my life and I can't love them and they're so hard to get along with and difficult and yada, 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 going on and on and on before the Lord. And that still sweet voice spoke to my heart and said, the reason why you have such a hard time is because you got a lot of pride. And pride is what's blocking your heart from loving in the way that I want you to love them. And I was like, oh God, you brought them here. You brought them into my life to show me how prideful I am. So then I started praying, God, you gotta do something in my heart, This person's not going away. They're here to stay. They're not going anywhere. I prayed. And my husband prayed with me. We both prayed because he was wrestling with the same thing. And we both prayed. We would weep together, repent together, because we knew, God, you got to change us. You got to change our hearts. We know it's our pride. All of a sudden, one day, when we saw that person, we didn't see them the way we were seeing them before. God did something in our hearts. And we saw the bondage that person was in. And we started to grieve for them. God, please set them free. Please set them free. They can't die in the state they're in. Because they had a root of bitterness, but it was deep rooted from childhood. Very, very deep. And we prayed. And we were so encouraged. God was changing us. But you know what? He changed that person too. Because that person came to a place of true brokenness and repentance over their pride, over their bitterness, what they were like. And God changed them too. Now, sometimes that person may not change. Because I remember when I first got married, a lot of you know my testimony. When I was praying for my husband, the devil had him. I mean, the devil had him. And I will never forget, he had a demon in him. And I didn't know, where is our marriage going, Lord? Where are we going in this marriage? Do I stay with him? Do I leave him? And another time, I've had a lot of wrestling matches with the Lord. And our next Bible study, I put that there as a teaser. But it's going to be on our time with the Lord, our next Bible study. And I've had a lot of wrestling matches with the Lord. And again, I'm wrestling, Lord, do I leave him? Do I divorce him? Do I stay with him? He's insane. There was demonic activity going on in our home as a result of him using the drugs and just the things he was opening up to. I've had crazy experiences and stuff. And the Lord again said, Rose, your situation may never change. He may never repent, but I want to change you. I want to change you. Oh, this is not me. I thought it was about him. Mm-hmm. It's about me. Yeah. Because you're very independent. You're rebellious. You're prideful. I am. I know I am. And he began working. 30 years later, 32. This was before we were married. I'm still working. Like, God break you. Because again, we don't want to wind up like Haman. And when we look at our next chapter, we'll see what happened as a result of his unrepentant self-love, pride, where it led. Because not only did it affect him, it affected the whole family. Whole family was affected by it. So again, I'm thankful for Esther's story because again, we're not reading a love story, are we? This has not been what the movies show us. This study's been rich and deep. It really has been. There's a lot we can learn. And it's on God's providence. You know, God knew all this was going to take place. Just like he knows every one of your stories. Yes. And all the heartache and everything you've gone through, he knows it all. He's been in it all. He's got a divine plan and purpose for it all. But are we going to embrace that divine plan and purpose that he has? Knowing it's always for someone else. It's always for someone else. This is not in my notes, but I want to read this to you. And this is just so real to me. Whatever I go through in life is always for someone else. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through, I'm going to read through verse 9. Yeah, I think I'm going to read that far down. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolations. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, about trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." This is the Apostle Paul saying this. "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many." So what we see there is everything that Paul went through, he knew God was going to use it to minister to others. And look at us today. We get ministered to because of everything he went through. God is still using, the word of God is still in our generation. This is powerful. It's still ministering to us. And we experience the comfort of God. We come to know him in those hard places. The places that we resist. The places we get angry at. The places we get bitter. And all God's wanting is to reveal himself to us. To put a testimony in each and every one of you so that you'll be able to minister to others. Because you've been there. You know. You know, we get ministered to because Paul was willing to embrace his cross. And he wants to minister through you. But are you willing to embrace your cross? And it's different for all of us. So we have to realize when those things come or those people come that rub us the wrong way, God has a divine plan and purpose for it. And it's for us, number one, to see our great need for him. But two, to acknowledge, Lord, really, when I'm honest, it's just my pride that's being offended or hurt. It's my pride that's standing in the way of wanting to reach out and extend love to this person because I think I have a right. And I don't have any rights. The only right I have is to be called a child of God. He gave us the right to be children of God. That's the only right I have, to be his daughter. So again, we learned from Haman what not to be in towards others, right? And I don't know if it ever struck you, but every time we read the account with Haman, why does he always have to say Mordecai the Jew? Anyone pick that up? He said it several times. It's like, why? Yeah. Yeah. Which we saw that in several classes. He was a descendant of Agag that hated the Jews. So here we are, cliffhanger. Gotta wait till next week for the next class. But let me just close in a word of prayer. Lord, again, we thank you that we can learn from your precious word, Lord, that has been preserved in our generation. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not your words, Lord, not your words ever will never, ever pass away. We thank you that you preserve them for our time so that we can learn from the life of Esther, Mordecai, Haman. We can learn from their lives and know how to walk with God and how to walk in humility and how not to rise up in pride or let bitterness get a hold of our hearts and control us to the point that we're insane. Just insane because of that root of bitterness in our heart, Lord. I pray for all of us here and anyone that's listening to this message online, God, I pray that you would just continue to expose those things in our hearts that you want to expose. Lord, we know that you are purifying your bride, Lord, and I pray that we wouldn't be afraid of your purification process, Lord, as you bring these things to the surface, God, that we would own them, embrace them, agree with them, Lord, so that you can set us free from those things that haunt us, Lord, but then to fill us with the Holy Spirit in that area so that the life of Jesus can truly be manifested through these clay temples that we are, Lord. We want Jesus to be seen and known through our lives, Lord, and we just pray that you would just continue to work with us and continue to help us and give us the grace we need, Lord, to just be able to walk humbly before you and before others, especially in this day that we're living in when so many are hostile towards God and are just full of hatred, and the love of many truly is waxing cold in our generation. God, don't let us fall into that trap. Father, please don't let any of us fall into that trap. Keep our hearts tender. I pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.